One of the country's oldest and largest regional trucking firms was just forced into Chapter 7 liquidation because the economy is gripped by the downturn of the business cycle. And it is that downturn that is heating up, not inflation. This business cycle has been driven by imbalances and bad assumptions from the very start. And so it's got to continue until enough of those get cleaned out. Interference has been coming from all over the place, and that's been masking these serious weaknesses and deficiencies that are just now coming to light. And one of the brightest of those lights is flashing a huge warning about the state of the U.S. economy, and it's one of the country's oldest and most followed, too. And its biggest warning is about the jobs market. Now, the trucking firm that was just liquidated is Arnold Regional Trucking. Maybe you've seen their trucks around because they've been around forever. Founded in 1932, during the depth of the Depression, the Texas firm has been around through all types of climates and cycles and all types of economic conditions until the pandemic. Now, of course, things were looking up a couple years ago. Remember the initial pandemic phase, the supply shock, logistical issues. Trucking was in huge demand. Or it seemed like trucking was in huge demand when maybe it actually wasn't. Because the biggest mistake of all that all of these companies have made, and banks too, we've talked about that recently, is confusing prices for economy. Confusing the CPI and conflating the CPI with economic recovery. Because the price of trucking went up, that didn't necessarily mean that trucking was rebounding and recovering. In February 2022, Arnold was acquired by one of Canada's largest trucking and leasing firms. And the press release that they reported back in February 22 said, "The acquisition of Arnold Transportation Services will allow us to expand our U.S. domestic transportation offering to new and existing customers. We look forward to providing Arnold with many additional resources that will help grow the fleet and continue to provide safe and high-quality transportation services to customers." Everything was booming. The sky was the limit. They continued, "We understand the growing needs of the industry and the need to continue to grow and scale up our business to do our part to keep the supply chain moving for our customers. The supply chain problems were not a recovery. This acquisition is an exciting step in our company history. However, it is just one of the many steps that we will be taking to ensure the longevity and ongoing high quality service our clients have come to expect." They were seeing the dollar signs of the pandemic, the price changes, the supply factors leading to higher cost rates and rates in the trucking industry as indications that everything was going to be great moving forward. They're going to invest in the business and expand and expand and expand because the economy had been pushed into a permanently high plateau of prosperity thanks to the largesse of Uncle Sam. And some people might even give the Federal Reserve credit here too. But that's how it went in a couple years ago in the later stages of the pandemic cycle, the upswing, the inflation cycle. But how is it going today? As I mentioned in the introduction, spoiled it already, Arnold has been pushed into Chapter 7 liquidation because it doesn't make any money. Prime Group has said, according to FreightWaves, that it owes creditors more than $637 million and is seeking bankruptcy protection amid a capacity glut, and low rates, at least according to the president and CEO. In other words, prices went up temporarily, but volumes never really did. They were expanding on the promise that prices would lead to more demand, or that prices were a signal of more demand into the future, and so they added capacity, basic economics. The price signal went out to Pride Group and Arnold and all sorts of businesses, not just in trucking logistics, but all around the economy. But those price signals were false signals created by the unique circumstances, the unique non-economic circumstances of the pandemic period. Pride was following an illusion, the money illusion, or really the price illusion. They bought out Arnold seeking further expansion into a booming U.S. market only to find there was no boom. And now we have to experience the downside, which also includes having to clean up from these bad assumptions. And Arnold and Pride Group are hardly the only example Another example, another prime pandemic example, Etsy. Etsy just reported earnings and said, well, most of what we thought about the pandemic from the pandemic period is turning out not to be the case. Online shopping and Etsy share price boomed during the pandemic as people had to shop online amid lockdowns. In November 2021, Etsy approached $300 per share, but has been largely on the decline since that pandemic peak. And that's not an accident. We had the technical recession in the United States right from the start of 2022, which was the economy's way of saying all of those assumptions about 2021 and before, they're not panning out. The economy is experiencing an inflection, and not just in the US, across the rest of the global economy too, the entire world, an inflection, especially driven by the huge increase, the soaring prices of energy. Oil prices are not inflation, nor are they inflationary. They usually lead to the downside of the business cycle. Oftentimes that means recession, even if that recession is drawn out over a prolonged period, far more prolonged, far more elongated than maybe you would expect. Back to Etsy. Chief Executive Officer Josh Silverman said in the report that the company has been, quote, pressured by the challenging environment of consumers pulling back spending on discretionary products such as those Etsy's marketplace specializes in, which continues to be a headwind to Etsy marketplace growth. And he continued to talk about how consumers have become so price conscious, they don't really care where they buy things as long as what they're buying can fit their budget. That's not inflation. That's not a booming economy. That's an economy that's on the downside of a cycle that is still the downside of a cycle. And if anything, with Arnold's Chapter 7 filing and some of these other warnings, we talked about Starbucks, McDonald's, KFC, the restaurant businesses saying consumers can't afford it. Now that consumers are worried about the jobs market, it becomes a very toxic mix. And that's something that we're going to continue to see more and more. As the Conference Board reported last week, and I talked about this in a previous video, not only did consumer confidence tumble in the month of April, according to the Conference Board measure, they kept hearing from consumers, we're worried about jobs, we're worried about incomes, we're worried about our budgets. This is not a booming economy heading for a soft landing. This is the downside of the supply shock cycle that is still the downside of the supply shock cycle that is actually heating up. And last week, amidst all the fury of the payroll reports, the stumble in the house in the establishment survey and the usual in the household survey, lost amidst all of that fury, the ISM's non-manufacturing. That one was a shocker, how low it went, but also what it suggested about the jobs market. When the ISM numbers came out last month for the month of March, everyone paid attention to the manufacturing index because that one popped above 50 for the first time in almost 2 years, well, a year and a half. And so everybody said, okay, this is proof of the soft landing, recovering economy. Manufacturing, which has been in contraction for a long period of time, suddenly is starting to rebound. Well, the ISM's manufacturing number for April, back below 50. That proved to be a temporary, dare I say, transitory celebration over recovery that is not necessarily happening. But overshadowing, at least what should have overshadowed the ISM's manufacturing last month, but it wasn't, everyone focused in the mainstream on the manufacturing, what overshadowed it in reality was the ISM's non-manufacturing index. That one fell sharply below 53. And as I pointed out in that video last month, 53 is the dividing line. There aren't many numbers for the ISM non-manufacturing below 53 that isn't consistent with, if not outright recession, then incredibly weak economic conditions. Well, the ISM non-manufacturing for the month of April went even further. Not just below 53, but now below 50 itself, into contraction territory, 49.4 for April. The last time it had been under 50 was in December of 2022, which was the combination of the initial downturn, or initial start of the downturn in the supply shock cycle, as well as many people blamed it on cold weather. So April of 2024 is the first ISM non-manufacturing index below 50 that can't be blamed on winter. And it also shows exactly what we've been talking about all of these months. The ISM Non-Manufacturing Index, like a whole bunch of other data, suggests that the downturn is accelerating ever since September and October. The initial oil price surge last summer that was only doubled, made that much more harmful in the first part of this year. And that's what the index shows, 49.4 for April. And just to show you what I mean here, 49.4 under 50, you rarely ever see an ISM non-manufacturing under 50. That is not a recession. Only once, one other time was not a recession, and that was in March of 2003 for what should be obvious reasons with that. But this isn't March of 2003. This is confirmation that we're on the downside of the business cycle. I mean, just listen to what the ISM report said. The decline in the composite index in April is a result of lower business activity, slower new orders growth, faster supplier deliveries, and the continued contraction in employment. Survey respondents indicated that overall business is generally slowing, with rates varying by company and industry. Employment challenges continue to be primarily due to difficulties in backfilling positions, so-called labor shortages, but here's the thing, and controlling labor expenses. Revenues are not growing and may be shrinking, downside of the supply shock. At the same time, costs aren't coming down nearly fast enough. The result is companies are being squeezed, and these are services companies, not just those like Arnold in trucking, who saw their costs go up with business that never came out. So business was supposed to boom for trucking, costs went up. Services were hanging in there for quite some time. We talked about restaurants that have done pretty well, but now services are saying, we're not seeing the revenue growth either. Consumers are struggling. Our customers don't have the budget capacity to spend on discretionary items, especially with oil prices taking away from that. So services businesses that are in this tough environment, what do they have to do? They have to look at their cost structure and say, where can I cut back? And where they cut back is on their labor, on their employees. They cut back in hours, they cut back in perks, they stop hiring, jolts, hires. And the labor market suffers, which leads to more weakness in the economy, which leads to more problems for employers, more employment reduction measures, and we on and on and on through the vicious recession cycle. That employment index for the ISM non-manufacturing was indeed eye-opening. It was 45.9 for the month of April 2024. That was the lowest since December of 2023, which means 2 months out of the last five were less than 46. Now, how rare is that? Well, you have to go back to other recession periods. Not only is below 46 associated with recession, solidly recession, it's also the way in which it's gotten there, the downturn, the clear deceleration in the employment index, just like, say, the household survey, which is suggesting the same thing, or JOLTS hiring that is pointing toward a severe hiring freeze in the U.S. labor market. The ISM's non-manufacturing employment index had been 54.7 in August of 2023, and it's been downhill since, again, the September-October last year inflection point. Gotten as low as the 43.8 in December, now back to 45.9 again in April. This is a consistent, not just consistent recession levels, but a consistent recession pattern in how a recession develops. Go back to the couple prior recession cycles. Go back to 2000 and 2001 in the dot-com recession. The ISM's non-manufacturing employment index had been 54.6 in November of 2000, just prior to the recession, which would start in March of 2001. This is during the dot-com bust itself. It would get to 43.9 by October of 2001. So almost a year later to go from 54.6 to 43.9. Sounds familiar? Several month process to get into recession. And it was the same way in the 2007-2008 period too, the great so-called recession. The ISM's non-manufacturing employment index had been 53.4 in October of 2007, and it had been weaker before that, and it had been down to 48.3 in August of 2007, consistent with the initial eruption of crisis, but it didn't get into its actual recession pattern until October-November 2007. And by the time you get to October 2008, the index, the employment index, is down to 42.8. And it looks just like what we're seeing right now. Going back to last August, the employment index, the headline index, and all of the internal numbers, new orders suggesting weakness, the ISM is flashing a substantial recession warning, and one that is primarily pointing toward difficulties in the labor market. And sadly, those difficulties are corroborated all over the place because, as Arnold and Etsy and a number of other company stories tell us, it's about the downside of the supply shock. There are a number of bad assumptions and mistakes of the pandemic period that need to be cleaned out before we could move forward. We've got to pay for 2020 and 2021. So the economy is still in a cycle. It's still in the downswing of that cycle. And the primary reason is because of all of those bad assumptions, confusing and conflating the CPI with sustainable recovery. The economy may have been overheated, but it was only, transitory. And it's been kept afloat in a huge way by government transfers and government spending and government hiring and a number of other of these unique factors to the last couple of years, like labor hoarding. Companies have been holding on to workers far longer than they would have otherwise. And maybe that's the part that's changing too. All of those parts. Talked about government transfers. Those are slowing down. The last payroll report showed that government hiring has slowed way down too. And if business is falling off as long and as far as it has, maybe employment, labor hoarding, that is changing as well. Flashing warnings all over the place. And oil and gasoline prices have done nothing more than reaccelerate the downside of what still is a cycle. We've got far more data and evidence pointing to the continued weakness and continued downturn of the cycle than we do to have anything going toward a soft landing, let alone inflation. And I talked in a recent video about how we have the fundamental economy for 1% or 2% in long-term treasury yields. And all of this data shows you why that is. How do we get to those 1% or 2% treasury yields? Accelerating the downturn to the supply shock cycle would definitely do the trick. Now, what do I mean by the fundamental economy for 1% or 2% long-term treasury yields? Well, we went over that in detail in the video link below. As always, I thank you very much for joining me. Huge thank you, Eurodollar University members and subscribers. And until next time, take care.